Bannister came to the conclusion that the biggest obstacles that runners face was their own beliefs and their fear, and thought that better running and better training would enable a runner to break the barrier and run the mile in less than 4 minutes. In his book, he wrote, "The 4-minute mile was to become like Mount Everest, a barrier that seemed to defy all efforts to break." He pursued the issue and increased his understanding of common sense approach. He read up on psychology of breaking barriers and confirmed to himself it was certainly possible. Praise God, you and I can stand firm in the fact that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Now, how does faith come? Well, it's not a trick question. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's focus in on that just for a moment. The Greek word for faith, according to Strong's Concordance, means firm persuasion. Firm persuasion. A conviction based upon hearing. So firmly persuaded because of hearing. He goes on to say in Strong's, faith is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. In short, faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion, and therefore distinct from human belief, confidence yet involves it. The Lord continuously births faith in the yielded believer so they can know what he prefers. So from this definition, we can clearly see that faith is a gift given to men after they have put their trust in him. And faith isn't just given as a one-time gift, but rather a continuous, growing, and progressive gift. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this statement. A conviction based on hearing. A conviction based on hearing. Let me say it again. Conviction based on hearing. In fact, that's the way we get faith. So then faith comes how? By hearing. You're hearing by the word of God. True faith can only come by continuously hearing the words of Christ, the good news, and the promises of God, the Holy Spirit ministering to us. This is how faith comes. You know, the enemy of our souls would like to engraft around us the belief whatever it will be, but God's words are true and powerful and are able to chart a very different course for our lives, even if we may be heading for somewhat of a challenge. Perhaps you're in a place where you're listening to the lies of the enemy about your destiny. Perhaps the enemy has convicted you because of the alcoholic history or violent, abusive traits of your father, or maybe you come from a deep poverty and have no education, or your family line is plagued with divorce and heartbreak. I don't know what your situation may be, but the Lord who created you does. And if he was to speak to you right now, and I'd like you to bow your heads when I share this with you. I believe if he was to speak to you right now, I believe he would say, son or daughter, I know your genealogy. I know your history. I know your present. But I've always had a good plan for you. If you would trust me in the moment and forget all the lies that you've been told. Today I want to give you a gift called faith. And with it you can chart a different course for your life. It doesn't have to turn out as it did in the generations past. I offered them the gift, but they didn't want it. Come to me, believe in me, and I will give you rest. We are told in Hebrews not to harden our hearts, and we'll be able to enter into God's rest. Now, time doesn't permit us to fully or even spend a lot of time talking about God's rest, but let me say this about the rest of God. Prophetically, God's rest is when we enter into the fullness of all the promise our blood covenant has provided for us. This morning, we talked about first fruits, about having a generous spirit and being a generous person, and how this relates to God meeting our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. It's necessary that we as individuals meditate on this and draw the oil from the oil, the anointing on these words, so they became a living word to us. Now here's what we need to be careful of. We hear the word this morning on first fruits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we have to continuously be hearing it. In other words, if we take notes, pray about it, continue with it for maybe a week, 2 weeks, and then stop, we're not going to get the benefit that the word provides. This is something that we have to put us on a continual basis. How many are believing God for a harvest? Okay, you're believing God for a harvest. Don't stop thanking him. Don't stop calling that thing in. Continuously. Draw on the oil. You know, the word, how many believe the word is anointed?
Yes.
Amen. We believe the word is anointed. So we keep at that. We keep at that. We keep at that. And we draw the oil into our lives. The manifestation of the word of God to be a reality. It's, you know, we need to understand something. That hearing from heaven is not something we do, but rather it's a part of who we are. Let me say that again. Hearing from heaven is not something that we do, not something what we do, but rather a part of who we are. Picture a satellite receiver or a radio receiver for that matter. It receives communication from a primary satellite. You don't have to constantly worry about whether that's going to happen or take place. It's built and designed to do that. We are built and designed, once we're believers, to hear the word of God continuously. So it brings faith into our lives. We're called to abide in God. Part of that abiding is becoming aware of his systems of communication and the fact that revelation is our birthright. Revelation is our birthright. See, we have to be careful here. Revelation belongs to us. And so what happens if you take the word that was preached this morning, because we're dealing with first fruits, and you continuously in that word, you have a birthright with that word. It will give you revelation. See, God may be just wanting to be in the position to enlighten you with some kind of revelation that you can put to work, for a better lack of a better description, that'll bring in a miraculous harvest. All you need is a single word. All you need is a crushing of that oil so that you're drawing on that oil and you receive a revelation of God. See, the Father has laid out a unique and blessed path for each one of us. How many believe that?
Yes.
It's up to us to discover the steps. Not only that, but his voice creates light upon the path. So we clearly seek and navigate the way. We're to live lives that are in sync, the thoughts and intents of Father's heart. We're to be planted fully and deeply in him. Each and every insight that God provides for you is important, as the result of revelation will determine the reply and the response and the action. The word that you receive this morning, or any subject, the word that you receive requires action. It requires action. You're not going to give it action unless you're continuously meditating on that word. If you just think of it for a day or two and let go, it'll probably miss the full effect on the oil on the word. If you write the record down, you know, encourage you to take notes when you're listening to a message. Then go back with prayer, seeking God. So you seek revelation. Keep pressing that word. Keep extracting the anointing. It's on that word. Don't put it away after a week or 2 weeks, but keep pressing into it.
Amen.
Keep drawing on it. Sometimes you're struggling and need a breakthrough. God will send a word to you for that specific time when you need to have a revelation of a breakthrough. There are other words that are very specific and hold instruction for a particular assignment. All these things must be prayed, and prayed about. That's why the recording of something, writing it down, drawing on it, studying it, is so critical. To become, be a person who walks in the supernatural. How many want to walk in the supernatural?
Amen.
You know, someday when you have the opportunity, look up the word rest and dig into what God's rest really is. Because us walking, it really is us walking in the supernatural of God, drawing on all of the promises that are found in the word. We have to draw on those promises. They belong to us. They're our birthright as believers, praise God. You must learn to place emphasis and value on the insight and revelation you receive. So faith comes how? By renewing our minds with the word of God, coupled with our hearing of the word, particularly when we speak the word. Now, I'm glad for the word that we had this morning. And faith can come because of the word you heard this morning. But a great deal more faith will grow and be accomplished if you take the word that deals with first fruits and you speak it out. You need somebody to speak the word initially, but once you hear that word, take it and speak it out. Repeatedly draw on that. I've got a harvest. The enemy can't touch my harvest. I've got protection when I give that first fruit. I got a manifestation of the fullness of God, the full harvest to come into my life.
Thank you, Lord.
I look forward to First Fruit Sunday.
Amen.
We'll have our First Fruit Sunday sometime in the month of February. And I look forward to with great anticipation to what's going to happen, not only in the life of our church, but in our own lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to understand that faith comes by hearing. When faith comes, fear disappears. When faith comes, fear disappears. Fear has to leave. When we identify limitations and confront them with faith, we can overcome them by acting on God's word. And you're only going to act on the word if you get a revelation of the word. You're only going to get a revelation of the word if you meditate on the word and hear the word of God. Amen? Write down Mark 9, verses 22 to 24. This is where the father of the sick boy says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Remember what we said earlier, God's divine persuasion is distinct from human faith. Limitations are set by unbelief. So it is our own unbelief that has set so many limitations in our lives. And how do we remove them? With faith. In Bannister's case, he began to build strength and endurance. He trained to exhaustion and cross-trained to build stamina. He exercised to strengthen his muscles and his legs and set to focus and continued on the race. He writes, on the day of the race, the weather was far from perfect. In fact, he considered not running, but then he realized that he had reached his peak physically and psychologically. There would never be another day like it. High winds almost caused him to postpone trying for the record. But then he said, as we line up at the starlight, glanced at the flag again. It fluttered more gently now, and the scene from Shaw's St. Joan flashed through my mind. How she, in her desperate moment, waited for the wind to change. The wind was dropping slightly. It was that moment I made the decision. The attempt was on. During the race, I refused to give crushing fatigue. I refused to give in to crushing fatigue, as well as to the lack of oxygen. My body was totally exhausted of all of its energy, but my body kept on running. He lunged forward in the finish line and fell exhausted in supporting arms that waited for him. On August 7, 1954, during the British Empire and Commonwealth Games in Vancouver, BC, which happens to be our home, England's Ranjan Bannister and Australian John Landy met for the first time in a one-mile run at the newly constructed Empire Stadium. Both men had broken the four-minute barrier previous that year. Bannister was the first to break the mark with a time of 3:59.4 on May 6 in Oxford, England. Subsequently, on June 21st in Turku, Finland, John Landry became the new record holder with an official time of 3.58. The world watched eagerly as both men approached the starting blocks. As 35,000 enthusiastic fans looked on, no one knew what would take place on that day. Promoted as the mile of the century, it later became known as the Miracle Mile. I don't know whether you caught it, but with only 90 yards to go, one of the world's most memorable races, Landy glanced on his left shoulder, to see where his opponent was. And at that moment, the Bannister slipped by him on the right because he looked back. God doesn't want us looking back. We have a forward God. He wants us looking forward. Amen? He wants us to let go of the past. Once this thing was broken, four other men broke it the same year. So a total of six men did it all in one year. Because one man believed. Because one man believed. How many believers do we have here? My God, my God, my God. Think of what we can accomplish. If one believer in a race could change the whole atmosphere about running the 4-minute mile. Building spiritual strength and endurance will help you to break barriers and establish victory in your life. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Go there, if you will, please. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to live the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Landy lost the race because he looked back. We're encouraged to run with endurance the race that's set before us. There's no need to look back. There are no more limitations for the child of God. For with faith and spiritual power, we will unleash heavenly blessings into our lives. We're called by God to break limits in the spiritual realm. God is a God of second chances and a new start. Yeah. Amen. Well, if we're going to clap, let's clap. Come on, let's give God a hand. Praise God. You know, when life becomes difficult, when you have failed several times, when you mess up a perfect relationship, when you're bored with your job, your house, your friends and family, a new start sounds absolutely exciting. Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago enables you to have a new start even now. Now, many believers know this truth, but still live beneath this truth every day because somehow the lie of the old life seems to envelop their souls. The truth is the enemy of our souls. The truth is the enemy of our souls. If he can get us looking back, we would make very little progress in the future God has for us. All of us have a past, and for some it may be memorable, and for others it may be horrible. Whatever the past looks like, the enemy majors in causing us to indulge in what was. You know, I've often said that my life was very unusual. I lived in an abnormal family. And the way why I say abnormal family is because they were normal. I had a mother and a father that loved me. My sister was a great, great upbringing that I had. By today's standards, it would be abnormal to have such a life because I didn't have things plaguing me from the past. As a minister, bless God. God's got a plan ahead for you. Amen? Amen.
Yes.
His plans are always good.
Yeah.
Mark down Jeremiah 29:11. I want to encourage you to make a commitment to stop looking back at the negatives. Our memory is not the enemy, but the way we use our memory. It's the way we use our memory. When I look back on life, it is for only moments of saying what God did and how he brought me through. I have to thank him.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Oh,
thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. How many can say thank you tonight to the Lord?
Yeah.
Thank you. I want you to understand that a new start is available to you no matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus died to save you and give you a brand new start. I believe Jesus specializes in new beginnings.
Yeah.
Now I look at every, even the disappointments and hurts and pain as a chance to birth something new. We do ourselves a great injustice when we lock God out, when we choose looking back in a negative way. We're made to move forward. It's time to stop looking back. We need the Holy Spirit to help us live life with a view of what's ahead. It's heartbreaking to see so many people live their lives camping in the past that cannot be changed and turning their backs on a grand future. We all know it's not possible to be effective in two places at the same time, and the only one that can do that is God. We will never be able to give 100% of ourselves in the present if we keep looking in the past. Our potential will never reach its maximum capacity. Future goals get delayed. Insecurity and fear will dominate. The flesh will rule, and life will become one heap of complaining. We'll keep a child of God's rest. What kept Israel out of the promised land? Was their looking back? Their complaining. There's a lot at stake to choose to remain in the past, and truthfully, life will be unhappy. The children of Israel found themselves in a major bondage. They cried to God to deliver them, and God sent a deliverer. They were able to experience firsthand the goodness, the kindness, the protection, and the provision of God. He split open the Red Sea. He destroyed their enemies. He healed bitter waters. He rained manna from heaven and fed them. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes were kept. He covered them, moved with them, and most of all allowed them, even when they complained, but they could not let go of the past that blinded them to the glorious future that God had for them. They were eyewitnesses to the promised land flowing with milk and honey, but because they did not rid themselves of a look-back mentality, they chose to see the giants in the land rather than an awesome God, a mighty God. The past kept them in fear, and they doubted God's plans. As a result of their evil report of goodness of God, they never made it into the promise. What I'm telling you is greater than silver and gold. It may be too late for the Israelites in the wilderness, but it's not too late for you and I.
Amen.
Living in the past is a great detriment to your future. I want to ask you to do something different tonight, or maybe assuming it's different. All of us can fight battles. God wants us to win and go forward. So I want you to come to the altar tonight. Just kneel. And anything in the past that's been hindering you, just let it go tonight. Let the fear go. Let the hurt and the pain go. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. He wants every single person in this congregation to be set free. So the altar's open. Just come. Worship the Lord. And let the Lord minister to you. Stand or kneel or whatever you feel most comfortable with. But just give the past, anything in the past that's holding on to you in a negative way. Just let it go. Let it go. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. If you don't have anything to let go, don't make up something just for the sake of coming to the altar. This is a holy time. This is a holy time. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You sound better. are gone now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Gone now in the name of Jesus.
It out. I receive and I believe. I receive and I believe. Amen. I receive. I believe. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I receive and I believe. I receive and I believe in Jesus' name. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. God's hearing and answering prayer tonight. God's hearing and answering prayer. Let's just praise Him across this room tonight. Just thank the Lord for hearing you. God hears. God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Amen. Father, we receive the word that we've heard today. We receive the word that we heard this morning. Oh, Father, we're not just attenders, but we are hearers and we are receivers. We receive and we thank you for your precious word, Father. Amen. Did you have a final word? You
just let me remind you of what I said. You heard the word this morning. Faith comes by hearing the word. But it's more powerful when you hear your own self speak out the word. So don't let confessing this go. Confess, confess, confess the word of God over your harvest. It's yours. It belongs to you, and God wants you to receive a full harvest. Don't stop. Don't get yourself in a position of not receiving because you do not spend the time confessing the word.
Amen. Well, we do embrace that word. We do embrace that word. I believe the word that we've heard. I believe God's word. Just say it out loud. I receive the word that I've heard today. I believe that word. I believe that word. I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Lord, we expect miracles. We expect miracles. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a Holy Spirit week. Hallelujah. It's going to be a Holy Spirit week. We'll come back Wednesday night. It's just going to be an awesome, awesome week. An awesome week in the presence of our God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And the man believed the word that was spoken to him. The man believed the word. Jesus said, go and your son's going to be all right. Amen. Go in faith. Move in faith. Live in faith. Speak the word of God in faith. Hallelujah. Thank God for a sure word from God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Amen. Did you get something from God's word today? Amen and amen. Praise God. You know, it is so true, and it's been said so often, but one word from God can and will change your life. One word from God can and will change your life. When you believe it, receive it, and so on. Brother Doug, we just thank you for coming with our brother. It's good to have you here with us. And we just bless you in the name of the Lord, my brother. Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, just worship God. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Heard Oral Roberts sing it so many years ago, but it's still just as fresh as the morning dew. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. And Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Lord, I believe. You know, it's such a simple fact, but I have to re-remind myself. God's word really works, but you've got to believe it and embrace it and take heed to your own emotions, which will try to flood and drown out and sound out what God does. That's why the word of God talked about fighting the good fight of faith. There's days you fight to keep your faith online. But it pays. Amen. We live in the same world. There's days I have to say, Lord, right now I don't feel anything. Right now it doesn't seem like whatever. But I believe God. I believe God. I refuse to let that go. I believe God. It's what Paul said on the ship. I've heard from God. And I believe God, and I believe it's going to be like God said it's going to be. That's just it. It's just, that closes any debate. I've heard from God, I've received the word I've heard from God, and it shall be, even as God said. And not one sailor on that ship lost their life. Miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. The ship comes apart like kindling, like toothpicks. and not one sailor lost his life. Paul went on that island, had a salvation healing Holy Ghost meeting. The chief of the island was healed of cancer. My, my. You know, Paul had a way of letting God turn adversity into victory. And I believe it's going to be a good way. Thank you for coming again. What a blessing. We've had some great, great times together, and we've seen God do some awesome things in His Word. Well, hallelujah. Is there a shout in the camp tonight? That little week, do we have a shout in the camp tonight? All right, we're going out with a shout. Amen. Praise be unto the Lord. Amen. Give him a head start here tonight. Amen. Praise be unto God. You know, I really believe all this stuff. I'm not just a preacher. I'm not just throwing words around. I believe this. Amen. Amen. I believe this. God spared my life years ago. And I believe God. I believe God every day. Praise be unto the Lord. Will the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace and breakthrough and great blessing. It's on the way. Money cometh, blessings cometh. A good week is already ordered from the throne of grace. God bless you is my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my